Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to The Froth. A place to let your brain slip into something more comfortable. A spa break for the mind. Are you sitting frothily? Then we'll begin.
I'm comedian husband, Rod Gilbert.
I'm comedy writer wife, Shan Harris.
That's Rosie, a dog. And this is...
The Froth. Yesterday's non-news today.
Be warned, there is some occasional fruity language and content. The headlines this week.
Zoo pandas too comfy for sex.
Oh, too comfy for sex. I know how they feel. James Acaster smashes Sean in a panda quiz. Boom.
Sounds dodgy.
Yeah, he really does. Bizarre flat has squat toilet in kitchen.
That's right, you heard, a toilet in the kitchen.
Sausage vending machines booming in Germany.
You heard.
And I love ocelots.
Oh yeah, Barry.
And Barry reveals his new favourite animal is an ocelot. Yes, Barry Castagnola, in his late 40s, has a favourite animal. And those are the headlines.
This is episode 39 of The Froth.
Our special guest this week is James Acaster.
And for this episode, we have a special exclusive clip only available on our YouTube channel.
James and I discuss our various beefs on Taskmaster and some behind-the-scenes shenanigans that didn't make the Taskmaster edit. There's loads of other videos on the YouTube channel and also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, blah, 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 all that nonsense. This is the Froth Podcast. Welcome to the show, Shan Harris, Barry Castagnola, as usual. And our very special guest, relaxing, recumbent, on a fine, fine couch of, I'm going to say, what material is that, Shan?
Sack, is it?
Sack?
What is it, James? No, like a kind of...
Sack!
What's in English?
It's better than sack, look at it. It's,
you know what I mean?
It's soft cotton.
Do you know what? I don't actually know what material this is. Maybe it's a cross between sack and cotton, I'll give you that.
Can you just check before we start recording, Mr. James Acaster, could you just start, check that it's fire retardant? Because the last thing we want here on The Froth,
isn't.
Which is supposed to be lighthearted, is going up in a f***ing thing of flames in the middle of it. And then we have to pad.
You asked me to check that before we start recording. Actually, just check that everything around me is fire retardant. I believe it is.
Is it? I mean, you look like a man who is so relaxed. You look like you're confident in the...
Yeah. You look like you're on top of the fire regulations in your house.
Yeah. Well, relaxed people are either completely across the fire regulations or haven't even bothered to think about them, aren't they? That's one of the two.
Thank you so much for doing this, James Acaster, to embarrass you. One of the finest comics of a generation, of any generation.
Not embarrassing. I love it.
No. Do you love all that? I mean, when I say one of the finest comics of this or any other generation, I am assuming you haven't lost it during the pandemic, of course.
See, this is the thing.
Who knows?
I have no idea. I haven't done a gig since 2019.
Have you?
I might have absolutely lost it.
Have you not done a gig since 2019?
No.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, Rod, and I think you'll be able to empathise with this, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Are you not missing it? Nope. And I don't ask that in like a surprise way because I'm not one of these comedians. I had a break for 6 years and I did not miss it one jot.
You didn't miss it at all,
not
did you?
At all. No. Not at all. Not one day.
I don't think you want to be a comic.
No, that's for another podcast.
Yeah.
Is it?
No,
I'm loving it.
All right, let's have it now.
It's really relevant.
Let's have it now. I've always had a love-hate relationship with stand-up. I'm always such a nervous wreck on TV and on stage and everything else I do. So panicked and so nervous, everything, that I kind of hate it as much as I enjoy it. So I didn't miss it one jot, no. But I thought you were... I mean, some people, clearly, they have that. They want to be on stage all the time. They live for it, and they would be missing it terribly after 2 years away, but not you.
Mm. No, I'm the same as you. Absolutely love-hate stuff with it. Except I wasn't aware that I was nervous all the time. I was in denial about it and told myself that that feeling was actually excitement and I couldn't wait to get on stage. It was my body telling me to run away. Sean, when you were doing... Cause like when you were doing sketch, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you hate that and never want to do it again?
I had to convince myself. And I mean, every day, after it finishes, you think, that was amazing, that's so good. But I think it's the ending of it that you enjoy so much, the fact that you've done it and you've proved to yourself again that you could do it and you're not a shit.
Yeah, but that moment is 3 seconds long. Before I go, oh God, I've got another one, got to do it again tomorrow or next Friday. That fleeting moment, I thank it's over. Doesn't last enough. I'm barely in the wings of a theatre before that kicks in again.
I think Henry Packer said
why are we doing
thing?
This fucking podcast?
Henry Packer said the same thing. Henry Packer said every time he has a gig, a massive part of him just hopes and prays that somebody's going to phone up and say the gig is off. I'll drive back to...
I used to say that all the time when I was, more of an open spot where you would, you're working 60 hours a week in an office and then you drive to Leeds for £5 on a Wednesday night and get home at 3 o'clock in the morning. If there was less than 10 people in the room, I would actively try and persuade the promoter to cancel the gig, even though I've just driven 4 hours to get there and had a 4 hour round trip back, actively trying to work on them to manipulate them to cancel the gig. It wasn't worth going ahead.
See, I was the opposite of that. When I had a full-time job and I was doing stand-up, I would hope that my full-time job got cancelled every day. And I was really on the way to do that with, I hope there's been a flood or a fire. Who knows? That's when I really wished for a fire at work. And then I'd go to the gig of the evening and I'd be like, please let there be an audience, otherwise my entire day has been an absolute shambles, a waste of time, depressing, fucking shit show of a day.
You know the extreme of that, and the total opposite of the people who hope it's cancelled. And you must have heard this story about the open spot who, I won't mention his name, but it was a guy who drove to a competition. And it was a £50 prize. The open spot guy, he gets to the venue, and for whatever reasons, weather or people just couldn't be bothered, there were no other acts, and there was only a very small audience. And the guy running the competition at the pub said, well, look, there's no one else here, so you can just have your £50. And he went, no, I've come here, I want to perform. And he's like, you really don't have to, there's no one else here, don't worry about it. He's going, there's £50, I want to perform, I want to do it. So he performs, dies on his arse, and the bloke goes, I'm not paying you for that.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful.
Oh, that is what a lovely way to lead us into our first frothy story. If you haven't heard the froth, James, what we do is I will offer up to you for your delectation 3 frothy stories. At the end of it, you choose which one was the biggest waste of time. They'll all waste your time, just which is the biggest. Rosie, can you get off my foot so I can move? Thank you.
Right, who's that? Who's Rosie?
Rosie's our dog.
A lodger?
Not resident woman.
Yeah. So here it is. Here's your first one.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing this, James. So.
Thanks, love. We really appreciate it.
We've established we don't know why any of us do it. We're all f***ing hate. Yeah. We all hate it. Hate the whole thing.
Well, actually, we didn't ask Barry about how much he hates it.
Oh, I'll tell you why.
He absolutely ripped it with a story. So I think one of us is happy.
James, let me tell you why I didn't ask Barry. It's because Barry, the moment they wiped his forehead of placenta, he was performing and he loved it. He was on stage.
That was a weird act.
He was on stage from the moment he was born. He loves it. Yeah. He loves it. Look at his little face.
Baz, you're a natural born performer.
Take it or leave it.
I think you were one of the first 10 comics I saw live, Barry.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Where and when?
I think it was in Kettering. Sometimes mate. Acts would come to Kettering and do. There was a couple of small gigs in Kettering that, like, Laughing Horse put on, or this was like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Do you remember Barry? Yeah. You died in your arse, and the guy said, "I'm not paying you for that."
That's why I didn't name him.
my friend, yeah, I think you
I'm
called
not
him.
His name.
My friend went to this gig.
I've got a friend, right?
Yeah. One of the first. Who are the other nine, James?
So I got into stand up kind of comparing for my mate who was putting on a gig and didn't have anyone to do it and thought that compares don't have to be comedians. And so, like, I would compare for people that I didn't know Simon Munnery was, like, a legend. So I was just like, yeah, I'm just introducing this guy, whoever he is. and then, like...
That is very... The old excitement.
No, Mike Belgrave.
Oh, gosh, yes, Mike Belgrave. God, these are some...
I did a journey once with Mike Belgrave, miles away, and he did the weirdest thing that's ever... You know, you've had some weird car journeys over the years, but he did a thing where he just pulsed his foot on the accelerator the whole journey. So you were just, like, jerking forward. And I went, after ages, I just went, how can we do that? And he just went, I've always driven like this.
Conversation. Yeah, not an answer, is it? Why do you do that? Always done it. What? I had a very long car journey with Mike Belgrave when I was an open spot. And it was me, Mike Belgrave, Broderick Chow, and Michael Grabelny. Now, I know that the two guys in the back of the car, Chow and Grabelny, have definitely quit by now. Belgrave, I'm not sure. Haven't seen him in a while. And me, I wish I'd quit so bad. So, you know, what a car. But we went all the way to Taunton.
Can I just ask, very quickly, London. Is Belgrave driving and pumping the throttle?
Oh, yeah, he's pumping it. So we're juddering all the way to Taunton from London. Belgrave refusing to directly answer any questions. And we get to Taunton Brewhouse. So it's a long journey.
Yeah.
But we're having such a nice chat. Belgrave's just been able to quit his job and is going full-time comedy. And the other three of us, we haven't done that yet. We'll all ask him about it. It's a really nice car journey. We're all enthusiastic about stand-up. And then we get to the Taunton Brewhouse and we get out the car and it's closed. And no one of the staff are there and the lights are out and the building's locked.
No.
And we phone the promoter and he tells us, oh, yeah, I pulled that. I forgot to tell you guys. And then we turned around and an entire audience showed up and we're in the car park. They hadn't been told either. And we were just all locked out of the venue and we just had to tell them, oh, yeah, it's cancelled. So we were the ones who had to break it to them and then they got annoyed.
Oh, my God.
And then we just drove home in silence, I remember. Just driving home in silence. There's the four of us. And I didn't live in London yet. I lived in Kevin still.
Yeah.
And so, like, I stayed on Belgrave's sofa. So sleeping now. I was like, I've just travelled from my house to sleep on a stranger's sofa in London. This is the best.
But that, see, for me, that as an open spot, that would have been my ideal gig. That would have been the perfect.
That'd have been a
really
good
night for
you.
I love the fact that the audience was there. All the acts were there, the promoters, that you were all there in the car park.
James,
nobody had the initiative to just put on the gig in the car park.
Why didn't you just do the gig? Exactly. You could
have
just
that
performed.
Felt bleaker. That felt bleaker. I had that Blitz spirit shit. Oh, let's do the gig in the car park for everyone. And all, like, absolutely die in our holes in the car park. Mama, get home, please. And watch Mike Belgrave smoke a joint on his balcony.
How does he do that? Does he do that weird as well?
Yeah, he does it. His little stuttered puffs that he takes. I've always done it like this.
Well, to be fair, most people smoke like that. It's very rare you see somebody put a doobie in their mouth and just inhale it all the way down to the bottom in one go.
That's probably why he drives like that, actually.
It balances.
Rod, have you ever seen Cheech and Chong?
So, your first story. Here it comes.
Yeah, sorry, you have got a format to this podcast.
Loose. It's very
loose. Tight.
It's just a nice catch-up for me.
It's a very tight format. Zoo pandas. I'm not sure this one should even be on the Froth. It's quite a good story, this. Quite important. Uh-huh. Zoo pandas, too comfy for sex. Right. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pandas, it says, are too lazy to mate in captivity as their enclosures are so comfortable, a study has found. Right. Experts fear that may be putting the endangered species at risk. In the wild, the bears thrive in habitat that is only 80% suited to them. So they have to move around to find a mate. Ah, is that why then? But zoos have created perfect surroundings for them, meaning they are content to stay put. That's the problem. Zoos are creating too perfect a habitat.
But how are they going to make their habitat a little bit shit?
You'd have to just inconvenience the pandas slightly.
Break the swing?
Yeah.
And so they go, oh, fuck this, we're after another swing. Let's go and have sex.
Yeah, don't put enough bamboo. That's don't give them enough bamboo or whatever it is. Or...
Yeah. If they're having too much of a good time on the swing, on for the example, swing. As Sian said. And then the other one's like, fancy a shag? It's like, chance to be a fine thing. The swing is so good.
It might be like a sex swing like you'd find in S&M club or something.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. I mean, I don't have a go at Barry for that. He's just putting two parts of the story together. Well, there's a swing and the sex. I mean, come on. What is it? If he mentioned that out of nowhere earlier on when we were talking about open spots, I'd have a go in.
I thought I've got a panda quiz here to test your knowledge on pandas. James, okay. How much do you know about pandas?
I mean, the extent of my knowledge about pandas is everything that you've just told me.
Yeah.
And that's
is it? Barry, sure. Are you playing this quiz?
No, I can keep the score if you want.
Well, I think I could have done that, mate.
real insight into Barry's family Christmases there.
Okay, it's always an easy question first to get you on the board with the quizzes on the froth. James, be glad to hear us. Just to get everybody on the board so everybody feels comfortable, everybody feels involved, apart from Barry, who's just doing the scores.
Yes.
Do you want to get into a glitzy outfit, Barry? You're going to stay in your iron that sweatshirt.
I've got a pen. I'm about to find a piece of paper.
Okay. You find a piece of paper, producer.
I'm up for it. Panda quiz.
He's all over it. He'll have a piece of paper any minute now.
Here we go.
Brilliant. Come on then.
I'm ready.
Okay. Fingers.
Panda quiz.
Fingers on buzzers. It starts to get everyone on the board. What lives in a few mountain ranges in central China, mainly in Sichuan, but also in neighbouring Shanxi and Gansu?
Pandas.
Sean, James, you're going to have to be quicker, James.
I didn't know we had to make buzzing noise with our mouths. Also, I felt like that was such a stupid question that
it's just feeling
buzzing in would make me look like a competitive male. And I thought, let's shine up that one.
Why do you think
me?
I don't want to be involved?
Yeah. So I suddenly see now.
It's a trap.
Barry's seen these quizzes before.
Now, James, everybody who saw us on Taskmaster knows we can be a bit competitive. So
listen. That was not being competitive. I just didn't like you because there's an absolute difference.
That is different. I'll take that one.
Yeah, man, I'll take
absolutely
that.
Did my head in. Yeah. Awful man. Absolutely awful human being. Don't get me wrong. It made for excellent television. I wouldn't have had it any other way.
So I want to see that competitive side today, James.
Okay.
Right, Sean, you ready?
Yeah.
Competitive, you're 1-0 up. James isn't going to stand for that.
No, I won't stand for that.
Did you just put your hand on your hip, James?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
Right.
I mean business.
Why, for many decades, the precise taxonomic classification, don't worry too much about that at the moment, of the giant
sounds like a pretty important part of the question.
Yeah, does it come back in?
It is, but don't worry about it too much.
That's gone.
Yeah.
The precise taxonomic classification of the giant panda was under debate because it shares characteristics with both what and what?
Buzz.
James.
Just for a laugh. Yeah. just a grizzly bear?
I'll give you bears. One
bears.
Point. One point.
And skunks.
I tell you what.
Why?
It's close, but it's not right.
Right. Really? Panda.
Raccoon is absolutely right.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I would have said raccoon. If I was playing,
yeah, Barry,
I was raccoon,
Barry, you had the option to play.
You can't have that. You can't just chip
Barry,
in now.
You can't be that guy.
No, you don't be that guy, Barry. You've let yourself down there.
I'd have said raccoon.
Absolutely ruined Boxing Day with that attitude, Barry.
You really let yourself down there. But
Barry.
another little insight into Barry's Christmas.
You can't be the I was going to say that. I would have said that. That's what I would have said.
I'm doing the scores. I'm giving myself a point anyway.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do the answers in my head and see how I feel. Yeah.
Barry, you bet. Don't. You've got a fax out to me at the end, the scores.
just on once I've got a fax machine, yeah. Just on the points, they said one each there, so what are we doing?
Well, what is the score so far?
That's a shared
by
point.
Because James got bear,
yes.
And then Sean got raccoon, so we're going point each.
Yeah, and Sean already had a point, and Barry, and you got a bracketed sort of point there, even though you're not playing.
Even though, you know, I mean, raccoons is a more impressive answer than bears, isn't it, really? Because I got...
Yeah, especially but you led bears, me to, so like, you led me to raccoon.
And especially
skunk.
As you said grizzly bear, which wasn't even really right. Actually, take James's point off, Barry.
Yeah.
James!
It's only fair.
It's 2-0, John.
Come on!
Oh, it's all bubbling up again. I can feel it really exploding.
Okay, put these in ascending order.
Hang on, wait. What? So what, the panda is related to the raccoon?
No.
Or they thought it was.
They nearly...
They just couldn't work out what a panda was, or classify it, or put it in the right bit in the encyclopedia, because they've got, is it a raccoon? Is it a bear?
It's clearly a bear.
Or is it clearly a raccoon?
It sounds like the first panda they found was like a panda cub, and they were like, what is this? And then eventually they're like, hold on, it's massive now.
It could be a giant.
It's a raccoon.
It's like when that bloke sent the old duck-billed platypus back from Australia and they thought it was a wind-up, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
He sent it back to somewhere.
Well, literally a wind-up.
Like, oh, you've just... Well, they were like, you've just put a duck's bill on an otter.
Really? Yeah.
And they didn't believe it. They thought it was a hoax.
You've just glued a shoe to a stoat.
I mean, it didn't help calling it a duck-billed platypus.
No. No. He wasn't doing himself any favours.
On a related question, how do you make a duck into a soul singer?
Here we go.
How very?
stick it in the microwave until it's Bill Withers.
Barry.
Have you never heard that?
No.
Have you never heard
I've never heard it.
Where did I'll you hear that?
The insights into Barry's Christmas at the moment we're getting. I mean,
that's not from a cracker.
Put these in ascending order of size. a domestic house cat's tail.
Right.
A panda's tail. An average human penis.
Is this your made up quiz? You haven't got this off the internet. Right.
I didn't make this up.
Okay.
Didn't you?
No.
Well, I think we have the right to know who did then.
This is bizarre. This is, since we're short of zookeepers, this is the government's new test for foreign zookeepers coming in.
Right, yeah, it makes sense now.
Uncooked spaghetti.
How much?
Just one piece.
Right.
It's ascending order of length.
Right, okay.
And a ruler. Standard ruler.
Standard ruler.
Standard ruler.
Okay.
Okay.
Up or down? I can't remember.
Ascending.
Ascending, right, okay.
Here's what I'm going to say. Yeah. Off the bat, okay. Before we even get into it.
Okay.
That's too many things.
Okay. Okay. How many things do you want?
Also,
I would say three things would have been more reasonable.
Okay.
Five things, also, one of which is a dick. It's ridiculous.
Do you want the dick in the three or not the three?
Also,
no, we'll go with the five because that's the question. I don't want to cut corners here.
Okay.
But, like, I just think it's the stupidest question I've heard on any quiz ever.
It depends on the size
of
the cat.
Would three really help it out?
I think three would make more sense of it being a question.
Okay. Okay. Put these in ascending size order.
Okay. Panda's tail.
A panda's tail. A dick.
An average.
An uncooked spaghetti.
Uncooked spaghetti foot, like at the top.
I've put uncooked spaghetti because I wasn't sure if spaghetti got longer when you cook it.
It can break. Well, it can break.
Sure. It's stretchy, isn't it?
So sorry, you've put uncooked spaghetti.
I mean the quiz.
So this is
the quiz.
Your quiz.
No, it's not my quiz. It's not my quiz. I didn't write it.
Of course it is.
No. I printed it off.
Spaghetti at the top, panda's tail at the bottom. And then
ascending order, please.
Ascending.
Yeah.
Panda.
Right.
Ruler.
The ruler's gone.
Okay, you got rid of the ruler.
It's not in the ruler three.
Panda,
no, spaghetti. I'm keeping all five in it.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Panda,
all five. Yeah.
Ruler.
Right.
Is it normal ruler?
Okay.
Hold on.
Panda
ruler's bigger than ruler's smaller than the average dick.
Thank you very much,
Rod. My congratulations.
Thank you. I mean, Shana's got a very skewed image.
Amazing.
It's the same size as spaghetti, right?
Yeah. Where's dick coming at the top?
If Dick wins this, then okay, I think that's the best. We can scrap all the news stories and just ask Sian about her history.
We just talk about
history.
The average.
Yeah, Sian, if you're talking now for Betty Spaghetti, maybe. and he's a J.
A little J. Oh, my God.
So you're going panda's tail at the bottom.
Panda's tail.
Okay.
Hang on. What else is there again?
There's a cat's tail, okay. There's a ruler, there's uncooked spaghetti, there's a dick.
Penis. Average penis. Ruler.
Okay.
Cat's tail spaghetti.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you say,
James? I would go.
Hang on. Barry, can you write those down, please?
Tell me yours again. And then, yeah, go on, and then James do his. And then we'll go nearest.
We just call it a day.
Yeah. then we'll hear the correct answer, and Barry will say that that was what he was going to say. And then we'll wrap the quiz up.
We all play along at home. We all
do you want
it.
Them again, Barry?
Yes, please.
Panda. Average man's penis. Ruler. Cat's tail. Spaghetti.
Okay. James?
I would go... Dick first.
Yeah.
I mean, and his tail.
Yeah.
Then spaghetti, ruler, cat's tail.
Wow. Barry, any thoughts?
I'd just swap around the spaghetti and the ruler, that's all, if it was me.
Okay.
So I'd have the same as James. I'd go dick, panda's tail.
I just need to check something. I'll be back in a moment. Hold the fort.
What?
What are you doing?
I just need to check something. I'll get some spaghetti.
He's going for another wee. We know what he's doing. Though.
He's either going for a wee or to get spaghetti.
Or to bring his penis back into the room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to compare his dick to all of those items. He's got all of them somewhere in the house.
In the same drawer.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Sorry,
I don't
James.
Know how this show usually goes, but...
Oh, it's pretty much. This is standard.
Well, guess which mug has to edit it.
Yeah.
Just done a quick bit of measuring. Okay, so a ruler, we just confirmed, is longer than the spaghetti.
Okay,
that's
well,
what
I'm
I
out.
Said, right?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, I'm pretty excited about
it. Spaghetti,
this.
Just for
good
the...
job. Good job, I'm not playing.
Spaghetti looks like it's about 26, 27 centimetres. A ruler, of course, 30 centimetres. Go through them again.
I'm going for flaccid penis first.
Yeah.
Panda's tail.
Yeah.
Then I went spaghetti, ruler, yeah. Cat's tail. I would throw in between the panda's tail and the spaghetti, an erect penis.
That's where mine was. Mine
James
was erect.
James claiming an unplanned, impromptu, self-anointed bonus point there.
Boner point.
Boner point. gets 6 points. 5 for getting them all in the right order, plus the bonus, the boner points.
Wow.
6
wow, scenes.
Points.
Wow.
But you see, about wow. the,
the answer
was...
is flaccid penis.
Isn't it interesting,
you didn't
though?
Say flaccid.
What?
You
I thought the flaccid penis just. I instantly, when you said penis, I instantly thought flaccid. Sean instantly thought erect.
I don't think I've ever seen a flaccid one.
Exactly, there you go.
I mean,
everyone's planning.
I don't think I've ever seen a flaccid one.
You
must be. Somebody's got to be pretty hot never to have seen a flaccid penis.
Yeah. Well,
I'm so hot, I've never seen a flaccid one.
That's it.
It is. Okay, absolutely right. 6 points. What's the scores now, Barry?
That's giving you a lead.
It's Sean's on 2 points, and James is in the lead with 6.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Well done, love. You know your
that
length.
That was some round. That was him.
Yeah,
some round. I mean, I don't think we need any. I don't think we need any more questions. We just need one for closure. Why are they called a giant panda? Fingers on buzzers. It's a rapid fire, quick fire question, quick fire round. James.
Buzz. It's the biggest panda on the face of the planet.
That will do. It's distinguish it from the other kind of panda, which is a red panda.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them on the Isle of Wight.
No,
you out.
Amazon World in the Isle of Wight. On the Isle of Wight.
Yeah.
What?
They've got red pandas. They're
oh, Amazon! Cute. Sorry, I was thinking of Amazon. I thought there was an Amazon world where you could just see exhausted delivery drivers.
Turn up with anything.
Peeing into bottles. but the best animal there that I fell in love with was is now my favourite animal is an ocelot. Oh my god,
Barry! How old are you? Just checking. How old? How old are you, Barry?
I'm 47.
Yeah. And you've got a favourite animal and it changed.
I was about to ask the exact same thing. Oh, that's the cutest thing I've ever heard, Barry.
It's Barry's favourite food, macaroni and cheese, isn't it, Barry?
Fish fingers.
No, burgers.
Burgers, yeah.
Barry hasn't changed much since he was a kid. Sean, you have been...
I know.
...clobbered.
I know.
...in Panda Quiz by Mr James Ackerson. 7 points to 3 with Barry on a bracketed Sean. One.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right. Love it. This one's a very quick story. It's just a picture, really.
I mean, it works well on a podcast.
Well, we can describe the picture, Barry. It'll be fine. You know, there's always stories in the paper about badly designed flats, badly designed houses, DIY fails, that kind of thing. Is this the worst example of a badly designed?
What is it?
Oh, they put like the toilet in the floor. So there's a kitchen, and then a toilet in the kitchen, but the bowl of the toilet is like
the floor.
One of the floor tiles.
It's one. Have you ever been to a French campsite? Or a French public toilet. That is a French public toilet. So you stand above it, just a hole in the floor. There's a little area for you to put your feet either side, and then you squat above it or pee into it. That is in the kitchen.
That's illegal, isn't it? For people to...
You reckon?
Yeah.
How many years do you get for that?
I think it's illegal for builders to build that. Because apparently you have to have a room between the toilet and the kitchen.
Oh, yeah, building regs. This definitely doesn't pass building regs, Sean, if that's what it is.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I think you have to have two closing doors between that and the... I mean, this is in the kitchen next to the hobs.
When Rod built a toilet in the... What? Do you remember the dining area in your old house in Cardiff? And there was a toilet right there.
Oh, yeah. This is my house, by the way. I just found...
Yeah.
They had to put plywood in between where people ate and where people went after they ate.
That was all right, I think. It was a toilet in the kitchen.
Yeah.
But it had a door into it.
So, but if
that's
you're
just
having
a hole in the floor.
If you're having an evening meal or a dinner party and someone went, "Where's the toilet?" and you just went, "Literally there." So they had to go in and just sit there.
Yeah, it was noisy at a dinner party. It was quite noisy.
You had to turn up the old music.
You probably
horrific.
You'd have to shout to Barry what's his favourite animal over the noise of the toilet.
He was awesome. Already talking about that at the party. Yeah. Come on. He knows how to keep the dinner party combo
going.
Sorry to
interrupt you, Barry. Where's the toilet?
In recent years, it's been the ocelot.
Talking of things like that, that takes me in nicely. What a segue. We've just started a new feature on this podcast called The Hotel. Sean and I, a few years ago, we had an early flight, like, I can't remember, 6 a.m. or so. So Sean booked us into a hotel near the airport. We went to the pub, and whether we just had too much to drink or I can't remember, but we ended up not going to the hotel. And we spent, like, the next... It can't be in closing time, because we were there for the next 3 hours, just crying, laughing at this hotel that we'd supposed to be in that night. And I've started reading reviews from it verbatim. It is called The Hotel. Avoid at all costs, this one's heading. Booked at a bargain rate of £54, including 8 days car hire for a night before our flight.
Right.
I don't think I've ever wished more not to budget on a hotel. The beds, if you can call them that.
Yeah.
I like torture. I'm pretty sure we'd have had a better night's sleep in the car. We got a great parking spot after a lot of faffing, and we were advised by the staff not to leave to avoid losing it. So instead of venturing out for some food, we opted for the hotel burger. What a load of rubbish. I wouldn't even feed that to my neighbour's dog. Half the plug sockets don't work, so forget about charging your devices before the flight. And I'm still yet to find a mirror.
That sounds like they've written that while in the room.
It does, doesn't it?
Next door seemed to have a good night. I mean, I should say, James, that there's just review after review.
It's reams
after review.
Of reviews.
After page after page. Thousands, thousands of these reviews.
We were trying to make ourselves feel less losery by not go, you know what I mean, by missing it.
Yeah.
Next door seemed to have a good night, though, because the wall was rattling for a short while.
Great.
Who's having sex there?
A good night.
A couple of pandas being put in non-ideal conditions. Let's get them in the worst hotel room we can possibly find and maybe they'll shag.
The pandas go, these beds are like torture. Quick, I'm feeling quite horny now.
One of the reviews on there is by the pandas being like, everything in this room was shit. And thanks to you, you've saved our species.
This person says, I read the reviews and I thought, well, it's just one night. How bad can it be? It was worse.
Panda shagging.
If you do book this hotel, book it for the parking and then get a taxi to somewhere better.
Oh, my God.
Right. Is it another quick one? We booked two rooms at the hotel to stay after a nearby wedding. As the wedding was starting earlier in the day, before check-in time, I tried to ring the hotel several times to inquire about being able to check in early. There was no answer on the first three times I rang on different days. So then I rang such and such hotels who own this hotel a few days before. And they advised me to ring the hotel on the morning of the booking to check about early check-in, as they would not know before this. On the day of the booking, we went to the hotel earlier in the day. There were no staff available to check in, and the hotel was clearly not open to the public. The security guards were not able to give clear answers about what was going on. We only found out that the hotel was shut and all bookings had been transferred to another hotel 15 miles away by speaking to two members of the gardening staff.
It's just chaos.
The hotel we were transferred to was too far away. Oh, dear.
How have they had garden staff and security?
I know. They're so shit. Why have they got bouncers?
They must have bouncers just to stop the guests attacking the staff.
Yeah.
What staff?
There's no staff there.
I'm still yet to find a mirror.
Is it still open?
Yeah.
I would go there. I would go there for one night as a dare.
Well,
we should all go there for one night. I think we eventually do. This is only the second.
You want to do one of the podcast episodes live from the
hotel. My God, that would be amazing.
On their Wi-Fi. Right, on their Wi-Fi.
Yeah, on their Wi-Fi. So good luck.
Quick story here about vending machines. Sausage vending machines are booming in Germany. Have you been to Germany? I haven't been to Germany for so long.
Yeah, love it.
Where did you go?
Lahnstein, which is twinned with Kettering, with my hometown. Went there when I was a teenager, and also went there a few years ago with some friends to film a YouTube series there called Sweet Home Lahnsteineringa.
Oh, my God. What's it like? Don't give too much away.
Pretty quiet, but I had a great time. You know, we visited like a commune there who don't like to be called a cult, but we visited them and did some blindfolded dancing, which was to bring us closer together as a unit. Ate loads of sausages, drank loads of beer.
I'm always curious with twinnings one place is twinned with another. Could you see why it was twinned with your beloved hometown of Kettering?
Neither town has loads going on, but that definitely Lahnstein has more going on. It's got a massive river, the River Rhine and the River Lahn, that meet together. Both of them have a carnival. And I've been to the Kettering Carnival, obviously, as a kid, and then got to go to the Lahnstein Carnival a few years ago, but it was absolutely tipping it down with rain and quite miserable, and that did feel like I was in Kettering.
Okay. Germans, it says.
Yes.
Would you go for a sausage from a vending machine?
No. No way.
No.
We are very lucky to live in times where you can buy sausages elsewhere. And I would probably prefer
because of how those. Long have they
okay,
been
but what about this scenario? Let me paint you a picture. You're a hungry German craving a sausage in the dead of night, it says. Are increasingly turning to vending machines for their bratwurst, bockwurst, and barbecue meats.
Ah, is it starting to sound more appealing now?
No.
No.
It says, especially in structurally weak rural areas, vending machine solutions are becoming increasingly popular, says an industry spokesperson, Heike Richter. It was a strong development towards the vending machine, which used to deliver meat, milk, eggs, and other products to customers outside of core opening times. Customers
are
can
these
buy...
cooked and hot?
I don't know.
Looking at the pictures, no. Looking at the pictures,
what,
they're
raw
in, they're
sausage,
in sort of...
raw or cold?
No, not raw. They're like almost like a salami.
Oh,
sausage,
like a chorizo, like a cured, like a cooked cured,
oh,
or whatever it is,
sense.
Or whatever you.
Yeah, well, actually, probably more like a frankfurter.
Right.
So what are they, Barry? What type of vending machines are? What type of sausages are they? Like a frankfurter? You mean the ones in the tin?
There's a mix of wursts on there, but they're in that sort of that vacuum packed plastic, you know, that they.
So, but are you meant to eat them there and then? Are they like a takeaway eat now consumable, or are they doing all your shopping here because you're working shifts and there's no shop around and you haven't got time to go to a shop?
I mean, it's hard to tell from the picture.
you're not doing a full shop, a full weekly shop at a vending machine.
Apparently, it sounds like
nah,
it. Eggs, milk, butter,
grim.
Cream, brockwurst, bockwurst.
How do the eggs drop down?
Huh?
How things, are they all dropping down like in normal vending machines?
Like a single egg just smashing on the bottom of a vending machine and then a bottle of milk. I
mean, oh, no. Let's go for another egg, another 50p in. Smash, crack. Oh, for fuck's sake. Let's go for another one. Japan is usually more associated with...
Yeah, but that's disgusting with Japan having vending machines.
Have you been to Japan and had a look at a vending machine?
No, but I've just heard, obviously. I wanted to go to Japan and everyone was like, vending machines there, women's pants in them, use women's pants.
Yeah.
They don't have...
Yeah, they do, like
they
school...
They do.
I've heard of mail order online, women's use panties.
Yeah, you
but
can.
But not... Not in a vending machine.
Yeah.
No.
In this hotel. On Taskmaster, you used the word panties and everyone was absolutely disgusted by it. But here you are, still using it now. I opted for pants.
It's a horrible
straight
word.
Into panties.
It is a horrible word.
Panties.
Listen.
Absolutely horrible.
Listen, if you are looking for a word, right, to match with the idea of vending machines selling used women's underwear, then there is no better word than panties for that. That is the word you need in that context.
That's true.
Underwear doesn't cut it. Pants, sorry, no. Those are used women's panties. Ka-ching, pound in, slot, you. That, panties is the only word that will do there.
In Orange is the New Black, there's a storyline where... Black, have you seen it? Where they provide the dirty panties.
Well, somebody's got to provide them.
No, but it's good money.
They're not going to dirty themselves, those panties.
No, but it's a good easy job, isn't it?
It is a good easy
if you
job.
Can find
Why
it.
Don't we flog your used panties online?
Do it.
In a vending machine. Yeah. We can put it outside the house. Do you know anybody who's ever bought a pair? Do we know anyone, Barry?
Who'd admit that?
No. Why are you asking me?
No. Surely...
Just in your
mates.
I mean, even out of curiosity, has nobody bought one?
Lloyd?
I don't know.
Lloyd goes to Japan a lot.
Yeah.
And he's into those grabbing machines in the fairground.
Yeah, he does.
He loves those.
Machine.
It's only one step from them to buying used panties in a vending
machine.
Absolutely.
I went on holiday with Lloyd once.
You did, didn't you? To New York.
What weird stuff did he do to it?
Mainly, he would find... somewhere that he thought looked quite nice and picturesque, and he would ask one of us if we thought that would make a good photo, and if we said yes, he would ask us to take a photo. He'd always ask.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah,
but he has to have a second opinion. A is this a good is the Statue of Liberty a good photo or not?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Can you take a photo, please?
Can you take a photo?
Do you think I should take my photo?
What was the story? You got caught over. I can remember. Hang on a minute, because I'm trying to make sense of this. How did you get stuck over there in pre-pandemic days when nothing went wrong?
Yeah, there was a snow cyclone, and so we had to extend the holiday by 5 days. And normally, any other time of year, that's not a news story. But in early January, when there's just nothing happening, you'd be surprised how many like online newspapers are going like, right, what a comedian's tweeting, we'll make a story out of that. And some comics thought that we had kind of staged the whole thing as some, we'd got some PR to give ourselves like a good start to the year, and that we'd made the whole thing.
Did Lloyd do something on news. Sky News or something?
Him
didn't
and John.
Didn't they do some... Go on.
Yeah. So Sky News wanted to interview us about it, and me and Ed were already going to go to a matinee metal gig, so we weren't going to be in for the interview.
So it's you, Ed Gamble, Lloyd Langford, Gamble, and John Robbins.
And John Robbins. So Lloyd found... He went through the drawers in our Airbnb and found a chain that had a massive like medallion on the bottom of it that said USA in the colours of the American flag. And he was like, that'll be funny if I wear that.
Oh, my God.
But he didn't, like... line it up with the camera, so like the chain, so the medallion's out of shot, so it's just a big chain.
Around.
So it just looks like he's wearing a chain, and also because they've got Sky News on, so they can see themselves live. And what Lloyd's doing for the whole interview is just reading all the words that are scrolling along the bottom of the screen on Sky News. So you can just see him looking like a confused giant baby just for the whole thing.
Like he's the mayor of Tortuga.
Yeah.
When you've got Sky News, when you need a talker for the news on live news, why would you put the monosyllabic Lloyd Langford up? Why would you put him up front?
It was funny. He did an interview with Radio 4 as well or something, and they had to tell him to please take the interview seriously and stop giving stupid answers. He was just trying to amuse himself all the time.
Just to finish off, you've got some tweets on what are they on? Vending machines?
Yeah, well, we've got one from John
we've got
Hopkins.
A tweet.
We've got one tweet. An unknown colleague in the late 90s sellotaped this note to our work's vending machine. Dear vending machine man, if you do not restock this machine with scampi fries, I will systematically let all the tyres down on your van. Thank you. So, yeah.
Systematically?
Yeah.
That's the only way you can do it unless there's more than one of you, really, isn't it? And even then you could have a system, but you have to do it systematically. I don't know why he's added that word there, really. Any other tweets?
There's one
more. Vending machines.
Hang on. Years ago at Malaga Airport, I bought a can
Who's
of Coke.
Who's this from? Who's it from?
This is from Bendo with Endo. At Bendo with Endo.
Oh, Bendo with endometriosis?
Yeah, well, Endo. Years ago at Malaga...
Cheery Monica?
Years ago at Malaga Airport, I bought a can of Coke from a machine and it came out with a huge angry cockroach on it.
As a rhinoceros people.
It hissed at me. It hissed at me and I squealed and threw the can down on the floor. It then exploded and sprayed everyone by the luggage carousel with warm Coke.
A Coke roach?
Yeah.
Oh!
Coke roach.
You are on
Tim Vine's in the building.
Tim Vine is. You're on fire today. I mean, not literally, don't panic.
Yeah. It hasn't caught.
Listen, lovely talking to you, James. Oh, we've got to decide which of those.
Decide.
Let's go through the fucking format. Hang on.
Is it which one's the least rubbish news story?
No, the most
which
rubbish.
Which one's the most rubbish?
Yeah, broadly,
the frothiest.
Which one has wasted your time?
I think the panda one, genuinely interesting. I'll probably regurgitate that as knowledge stuff in the future.
Knowledge stuff.
Even, I don't know, because that's the thing. I will probably talk about the vending machines to people. I do think it's interesting, even though I think it's stupid.
I don't think it is stupid. I think it's a really sensible idea for structurally weak areas.
I don't want to like hark back to Taskmaster too much, but I had to do some group tasks with you, and I would say your version of a good idea it's not the universal standard. Let's put it that way.
It's subpar. Listen, James, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
So did we decide froth of the week was going to be
the toilet in the floor?
Yeah, toilet in the floor.
Flat with a toilet in the floor is the winner. Congratulations. Thank you very much for joining us, James Acaster, Barry Castagnola, Sian Harris. This
Thank
has been
you
the
so
froth.
Much, love.
Tune in next time.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Remember, you can find us at the Froth Podcast and our YouTube channel where you'll get extra froth content.
Don't forget to like and subscribe and rate us at 5 stars and spread the word if you enjoyed it.
This podcast was a Flan Bobble Vision production, produced by Barry Castagnola at Russell Up Productions.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.